right, guys, welcome back to the Fantastic Duo Show. Today is Thursday. We have a big show ahead of us right now. And we apologize for the technical difficulties. Everybody's saying welcome back, so we're happy to be back here again with you all. And this is what happens when you go live. But ladies and gentlemen, right now I have the one and only Mr. Ryan Parrott with us. What's up,
Yay!
Ryan?
Hey, everybody.
Hey. He's going to answer all the questions that I just asked him. We're going to ask him again because nobody heard it.
Completely different answers now.
Just yeah, right. So while we were on the air and nobody could hear us, I was asking Ryan, cause we have met before, obviously. And I think that the first time that we met was at the New York Comic Con last year, and we did a big panel for Boom Studios and stuff. And, you were saying that was your first time in New York?
Yeah, it was my first time in New York ever. I mean, I've been there one time with my girlfriend at the time, and we were like passing through to Connecticut, but like my first time to actually walk around the city and so to do that plus to experience New York Comic Con for the first time and to be writing Power Rangers for like, it was a very crazy weekend. I was sick too. So the whole thing was nuts. And then the panel was crazy. The whole thing was a little much, but yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine how all of that all at the same time could be quite overwhelming, what an experience for sure, man. So that's awesome.
Yeah. They love you there, man. I remember I came over and I was introduced myself, and there was like 50 people. There's two people I'm signing books for, and I walk around the corner and it's you, and there's like 50 people in line. I was like, I guess I'll just say hi later.
it's a good thing for all of us though. You know what I mean? Cause it's like the more that you and I can do to keep things alive with the franchise and the stories and keeping the fans interested, that's what keeps them coming back around and stuff. So, it's a blessing for sure. So, Alex, how you doing over there, man? The technical wizard over here.
I'm doing great. Once in a while, the technical side of things decides to go crazy. But you know what? This happens everywhere. This even happens on live television. So,
I'm
happy to be here with you, Ryan. Ryan, thank you for joining us here on the show. You've been doing a hell of a lot of PR and running around with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 50. And I, for one, and Steve will laugh at me. I always have my issues here with this one's not green screened out though. This one you can see it's the full.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we have the other one though, with the Green Ranger helmet on it. That was every time we put that one up, when you watch it on Twitch, the whole screen, it all goes away, you know what I mean, behind the green screen. So it just looks like a clear mask. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
because that was, tell us, what you can, if you can, a little bit about, the storyline. Because obviously now my character, Adam and Aisha, are now starting to get introduced into the whole Power Rangers universe now. And they're starting to tell that storyline a bit more. Can you elaborate on some of that at all for us?
Yeah, totally. I took over writing Mighty Morphin with issue 40, yes.
Okay.
We basically jumped forward in time from the previous, right before that was Shattered Grid, which I'm sure you've seen. So we did Shattered Grid, which is the big, all Power Rangers all together, greatest, biggest fight ever. So I took over after that, and we jumped forward in time to basically when Tommy took over as the White Ranger.
Yes.
And so in that first issue, we sort of introduced that. And also at the end of the battle, I think it's like page 6 or so of that issue, the helmets come off and reveal that you and Adam and Aisha are on the team. It's so interesting to refer to you as you. This is the
so helpful. I just feel bad that you had to watch all these old episodes with just that horrible acting from those first few episodes, man. It's just awful.
You gave me so much material. Dude, I said this the other day.
Yeah, I'll bet it did.
I said this on the other day, and I'll get back to you in a second, but I will say this. Your character, Rocky, is slowly becoming my favorite character to write. I'm not saying that because I'm on this podcast. I swear to God, I really mean that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's so much fun to be able to, because the one thing that's really interesting about writing, because I wrote Go-Go Power Rangers for 32 issues. You guys even show up. So I wrote a lot of the original five Rangers. And so when we pick up with in Mr. Evil, Adam, Aisha, and Trini too many trios. When Jason, Zach, and Trini, I'll leave. there's an energy that left team. As I started to write the Power Rangers with the Stone Canyon trio and Billy and Kimberly and Tommy, the whole dynamics changed. Everything shifted. I'm sure that's how it was like in real life. So it was like this idea that like everybody sort of morphs. And so it was interesting to find where each of the characters sort of fit in. And what I found was, is that I ultimately found that Rocky filled in the comic relief in a way that, in a good way, not in a silly way, in a way of sort of bringing a lightheartedness to the surroundings, just because you feel out of the SoCanyon 3-0, I always felt like you were the one in a fight that I would probably want backing me up a little bit. You're bigger, stronger. Like, I'd be like, I feel like you were comfortable in a fight, right?
Right.
And so it just felt like you would be a little more lighthearted about the whole thing, while I felt that maybe Aisha might be a little bit more reluctant. And so it just grew out of trying to fill in the holes and reshape the team. So that's why it's been really fun. And I've found a lot, and I just found that your character is helpful in breaking up a scene and giving a grounded approach to moments. It'll make more sense when people read stuff.
Sure. Yeah. Now, did you go and watch like a lot of episodes, or did you just watch like a few to kind of get the gist of it? And then, because I don't want, you know, I wouldn't want necessarily like to have the show be like, you know, all the influence for you and what you want to do with the character and stuff. But so I was wondering though, like what did you take from that, and what is like creative licensing and stuff?
Yeah, well, I watched it when it was on. I watched it when I was growing up. So like I saw it in real time. So
right.
And I've always said this, Kyle said it too, which is, I think when we go back and write the books, I always sort of try to write the books in the way that the show made me feel.
Sure.
As opposed to sort of going like, okay, this is the way that it was designed to be, and this is the way that the characters have to be. And so I always sort of see it as sort of like, that's the license we get, right? Because also comic books and TV are written so differently than they were in, you know, the early 90s. So you have to evolve the stories.
Of course, yeah.
They can't talk the same way. So that's the way I look at it. I went back and watched all of them. I watched all all three seasons. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay. Yeah.
And then just sort of riffed off of the stuff that I like, some of the stuff.
Right.
It's helpful to go back in. I think there's certain episodes for your character, for all the SoCanyon Trio, of anybody. It's like that are sort of the cornerstones that sort of like people kind of identify your character. Like the Plinko one is the one that I think.
Oh yeah. The pachinko machine. Yeah. That's
God.
That was the one that I hated the most because I was talking about this like a couple episodes back, a couple of our shows back, you know, like back then I've explained this before, like, you know, people didn't have ready accessible video on hand all the time. You'd have to buy a big camcorder, and you'd have to be an avid like camcorder user and record yourself all the time and so on and so forth. If you wanted, you know, it wasn't just something that everybody easily accessibly had. We weren't walking around with recorders in our pockets all the time, or camcorders in our hand or whatever. So it's not like you're very used to seeing yourself on film or on camera and hearing your voice and seeing your facial expressions and all that stuff like that. So the first time that I ever watched like a complete episode was that Rocky Just Wants to Have Fun one with the pachinko machine, and all like the goofy stuff that I had to do. I was so out of my comfort zone. It was just like so weird for me. To me, it's always like a nerve with me. I always have because everybody's like, oh, that's one of my favorite episodes. And I'm like, oh, that's one of my least favorite episodes, you know? How about Zio? Did you watch Zio at all or no?
Yeah, I've seen some Zio. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, because I feel like Zio actually is really more like the Rocky character. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you want to see like more of like what I really wanted like Rocky to be and what they actually started writing for me and stuff, you'll see more of that in Zio, I think. But the character is still the same, but he's just a lot more animated, you know, I think, because in the beginning, you know, I had never done any acting before. I was kind of following a script and I wasn't like too creative or whatever, but it was like, you know, I felt a little bit more comfortable in my own skin in those later episodes. So if you want some more inspiration, please go back and check out some of that stuff too, you know, in Zio. So even though the costume is different, you know, the character is the same. So if you need more more material. Yeah,
well,
anyway.
I have a question, and if it's been covered on this, I already apologize. But in between those two, that shift over from Mighty Morphin to Zio, did the writers... did they come to you and talk to you about how they wanted to change it? Was it collaborative? I'm just curious how you felt that transition went?
Well, I mean, I think what they were, when I first got started, like I said, you know, I wasn't really like real comfortable, you know what I mean? So I would just sort of say the lines in the script and I didn't really put a lot of anything behind it. But while I was filming, they were also giving me acting lessons as well too, you know what I mean? So I had coaches and things like that were helping me to find some kind of a character, you know? And so as that progressed, that's when the writers started like seeing a little bit more what my range might have been. And then, you know, by the time Zio came around, they were able to kind of write for me better that way. Because in the beginning, I think when they made the transition, just to make it easier for people, they kind of kept me looking the same as Jason. You know, they're the same sleeveless, like, plaid shirts and you know, just not, you know, like, I don't know. So I think that it took a little time, you know, for the writers and myself to kind of find, you know, a place for Rocky, I think, makes sense.
Totally. I mean, that's the whole core of what Necessary Evil was, which is the storyline I've been writing for 10 issues now. Just trying to basically get into the idea that when the Stone Canyon Trio come in, that it wasn't cookie cutter. You just didn't step into those roles and been like, okay, everything's going to be the same. And I think that's the way I imagined it, was just that it would have been really obviously very difficult. And you're stepping into a when you came into the show, I mean, that show's already going at full speed, been going on for, so it's like, it's a and they were expecting you to jump in and be
right. Yeah. And we talked about that too. I mean, we've talked on other panels before too. And I know that we spoke about that. It was like, where do I fit in? Not only as Rocky, but like as Steve, like, how do I fit in with this group that's already been there? Mm-hmm. And how do I make that transition? You know, so that was very difficult too. You know, I found it hard. It took a while to get into the groove of that. So, but it was a perfect thing, but the TV show never really covered that. You know, it was like all of a sudden we were all just instant friends. You know, the other guys were gone. We were instant friends and it was like business as usual. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, kids are smarter than we thought, you know, like they could relate to that kind of stuff where I might not necessarily get along with one of the guys right away, you know, or, you know, we might have, you know, some of us might have some issues, you know, it's like here's these new guys walking in, you know, how can we make them feel welcome or how to, you know, or not, you know, I mean, those are, I feel like those are things that, but I feel like that's some of the things that the comic book did cover a little bit, you know, I think is cool. Yeah.
Thanks. That was the whole point. I was just trying to figure like how would it really have felt, what it would have really been like to step into that world, to go from being, you know, it's hard enough just taking it from the story point of view, it's hard enough to be a high school teenager. The idea of having to save the world. And
all while having to keep a huge secret too, you know what I mean? Exactly. So that's a part of it when, you know, I know adults that can't keep secrets you know, like that, you know what I mean? But now we've been tasked with this whole thing, you know? So, I do find it interesting. And these are things again that, you know, we just didn't think about when we were first filming the show and stuff. And I felt like it would have made for more interesting, you know, TV. And I mean, you know, yeah, you've only got 22 minutes to tell your story, you know, and when you take out all the commercials and everything. And so you've got to, you know, you've got to introduce the bad guy. You got to start smashing up the place and then you got to get the swords and you got to do all that stuff. But, you know, I think they should have like delved more into each one of us more, you know what I mean? And anyway, so that's why I love Boom Studio so much and what you guys are doing over there. It's just been incredible because finally the fans can finally go, okay, cool. This is how Power Rangers should be. And now that they're older and they're reading these, this is how they want Power Rangers to be like now. They like to go back to watch the shows for the novelty of it and the campy of it, but they're not watching the shows going, oh my God, I hope he's going to beat the monster. You know what I mean? Like, but in the comics, they're like, hey, there's some real shit going on here, you know? Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I keep rambling. My bad. Oh, please, Alex.
Yeah, no, this is why everyone's here. Really quickly, Ryan, let us know a little bit about your accomplishments, man. How did you get into the whole business of writing?
Yeah, we probably should have started with that, huh?
No, it's all good, man.
I'm from, I was born in Bakersfield, but I grew up in Las Vegas. Yeah. And I thought I wanted to be a comic book artist for a really long time. That was my whole dream. And so I went to art school and realized really quickly that wasn't not going to work out because I cannot sit in front of a board for 12 hours a day drawing and I was never going to be J. Scott Campbell. So I was like, okay. But so I realized I kind of like film. And so I transferred to, Chapman University and went there for a few years and, I did okay. I had some films that went to like Sundance and Cannes. It was cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And I sort of worked in film and television, kind of bounced around for a little while. And in the middle of that, one of the guys I went to school with was Kyle Higgins. I went to college with him. And so we both moved up here around the same time. And he was trying to make it in movies and I was trying to make it. I was working at Bad Robot at the time. And And so we were sort of helping each other, and he was just starting to break into comic books. And so I would help him on the weekends. I would like, he would call me and be like, hey, I'm working on this X-Men pitch. And so we'd work it out, and we just did that forever. And so he finally started to get some work, and the first book he got, it was right when the New 52, DC New 52 started. And so he went from doing like two miniseries to writing Nightwing and Deathstroke in like a weekend. Yeah, because it was nuts. Like he called me, he's like, hey, so I got a lot of work. and he had already been writing Batman. So he was like, would you be interested in helping me sort of like write the last three issues? Because I'd already helped him broke the thing. And so, yeah, so my first issue I ever wrote of comics was Batman. And I was working on a TV show at the time. I was working on Revolution for NBC. And so I was doing both of those at the time. It was really fun. And so because of that, they found a Bad Robot. They're like, oh, do you write comics? Do you want to do Star Trek comics? So I was like, yeah, that'd be great. So I was a Star Trek fan. So I got to do some Star Trek comic books. And then I got to be on a panel at, my first panel was at Long Beach Comic Con.
Yeah.
Been there a few times.
Yeah. It's cool. Cause it's not as big as the other ones, but so you can actually talk to people. And I was on a panel just with like four other people on it. And Daphne Pleben, who is the editor at Boom, was on the panel moderating. And we got into some conversations, and afterwards we got a drink, and all of us did. And we got into a debate about, I didn't like Captain America Winter Soldier. I know, I'm wrong. Everybody who thinks, I know that, but she basically sort of straightened me out, and we just got along really well. And so when push came to shove, at some point down the line, she was like, hey, you know, we're thinking about doing Go-Go Power Rangers, which is gonna be like a sister series to the original. She's like, actually the new movie was coming out. And so they called me and they said, hey, you've written licensed TV before or licensed stuff. Are you interested in possibly doing a sequel comic book to the movie, but you'll have to do it while the movie's being shot.
Wow.
Yeah. So they brought us into Saban, like a Friday afternoon. I was writing on TV, and I came in really quickly, and I literally got to read the script one time. And then I had to write it in 3 weeks. And I never saw the finished movie before I wrote the comic book.
Wow.
So yeah. So it was a little quick. I actually remember going to the premiere, and I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I didn't get that right. So it was a very odd experience.
Well, as you know, sorry, I didn't cut you off. They change scripts all the time. So probably from the time what you read, you know, might have been more in line, but they changed everything, you know what I mean? So they probably changed a lot of stuff, you know, because I know they changed our movie. You know, we ended up reshooting like almost the entire movie, you know?
What?
A movie that should have taken like 6 weeks, took almost 4 months to make.
And that was in New Zealand, right?
We were in Sydney, in Australia. Sydney, okay. Yeah. So I would imagine like if they're only giving you one chance to read it and they're not keeping you updated on all the changes they're making, it's probably not going to be, you know, in sync. But
I remember when we were sitting there, like I went in to read it, and there's like that, if you've been to Saban, there's like two conference rooms, like one's called Zord or I can't remember what they're called.
Mega and Zord,
there you go. So I'm sitting in Zord. And as I'm sitting with my back to the wall, I just keep hearing it rattle with explosions. And it's because they're screening a version of the movie behind me as I'm reading the script. And I was just like, this is the coolest experience ever. I can actually, it's like they built a whole sound effects library for me. But there was a lot. It was a very, very fast process. But luckily I did well enough on it, and they liked it enough that Boom was like, hey, we like this. Do you want to do more? And so they brought me to do Go-Go. And then I started writing that, and I've been writing Power Rangers for 3 years now.
That's amazing.
Dude, that's phenomenal, man. That I love insane. It, man. That's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, so let's talk a little bit about this. So we just finished episode, or should I say book number 32 of Go-Go Power Rangers, which of course you were there writing. I'm putting it up on the screen for anyone who's watching right now on Twitch. So tell us a little bit about that, man. What went into that, into writing in the Omega Rangers and bringing them in? Because let me tell you something. This, what you're writing on these books, is what the TV show was missing always, was just this continuation. And where did it go? And how did everybody, you know, like, how did things get passed along, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the way that we always approached it, and it was, you know, obviously the way that the show is made is very unique. in that, you know, half the footage is sort of pulled from,
Japanese footage. Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason they don't, more shows don't do it this way. It's very complicated. And I feel like the, one of the things that's sort of helpful as when you're writing sort of a, I wouldn't say a fill-in book, but something that's tied to the original series so much, is that there's a lot of holes. There's a lot of, like you said, I mean, if you take, you know, 15 out of the 22 episode, the 22 minute runtime is the action and the morphing sequences and sort of the repetition, right? So you really only get 3 or 4 scenes per episode. It's really going to give you any character stuff. Right. And they have to jump through a lot of hoops to get to those beats. There's stuff that doesn't make any sense because they're restricted by the footage that they have.
Right.
So for someone who's coming in and trying to write sort of around that and write to that, it's actually very beneficial for a writer, because there's these holes that they never address that I get to actually go in and fill in now, which is, you know, like as much as I, you know, like obviously with the changeover between the original and the Stone Canyon Trio, like there's, because of the bizarreness of how that transpired.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff there that doesn't make a lot of sense that I got to go back in and be like, well, is there a way to actually make this make more sense in a way, like from a narrative point of view? That's where the Omega Rangers came from, was like, it made no sense to me that Jason, Trini, and Zach would be like, hey, Zed's here, let's bail. Like that's just
right. So, so that whole concept, that was your idea. Like, did you come to Boom, or did Boom say, well, we want to try to do something with this void that, you know, needs to be explained? And or how did that part of it come about, I guess?
That came through Shattered Grid. Kyle and I were in the middle of writing Shattered Grid together, because I was writing, that was the tie-in book between both of them.
Yeah, right.
And so we were breaking story a lot together and writing scenes together. And I remember halfway through that series, Kyle and I were talking, and we were like, well, we were like talking about where we knew we were going to jump in at the next point. He was going to leave the book, so I was kind of talking about what could happen, and we wanted there to be sort of consequences, because we knew we were going to reset everything.
Yeah.
And so we started having conversations about, oh, what if they didn't actually go to the, what if the peace conference was a lie? And so it all came out of that. And it just started with, what if it was a lie? And then we ran it by,
which, as we all know, it was. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So we're just like, well, what if it was a lie? And then it was like, why would they leave? And then we're like, what if they actually went and became Rangers someplace else? And they're like sort of the X-Force version of the Power Rangers. They're the secret ones. And what could they be doing? And it was just sort of this sort of game of dominoes where just kept bouncing along.
And so genius, man.
And it was just fun. And I really liked the way that it allowed us to sort of bring them back. I knew, I was like, what would be really fun is the thing that the comic books can do that the TV show can't always do. Obviously, they've done some crossover episodes, but the idea of having you guys interact, actually having you and Jason interact, like that's something that doesn't happen. It happened a few times in the show. I mean, right? I mean, did it?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously Jason Austin wasn't there, the actor wasn't there, so they were using body doubles, and then they would cut old footage together.
Amazing audio dubbing.
Yeah, right. And then Austin later came back in Zeo,
right.
It was in there for a while, and we did actually do on screen, we were on screen together there. But yeah, you're right, it was all kind of like, you know, chopped together from old footage, right. And then like doubles we'd be looking over their shoulder, you know, like the camera would be looking over their shoulder, or somebody
or when they were in
the car in front of their face or something.
Or
when they were in the command center, you would see old footage of Zach just looking around from like the beginning of Power Rangers, just like, oh my god, I can't believe that's happening. But it was just all being spliced in. That's crazy. And I think it's cool that you've kind of bridged that gap, you know, with the comic book, and it's something that adults, kids, and everyone alike is really starting to enjoy. Another one that I wanted to talk about now, and it's the hottest thing going right now, especially with the ending, I'm not going to ruin it for anyone, it's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 50. This thing is, you know, is going places. People are they're selling out, is basically what I'm trying to say. It's like, I went into the comic book store, and I saw even the variant, the $50 variant with the Green Ranger on it, just went off the shelves like that.
$50.
Well, something like that. Yeah. So,
some of those variants are really, really pricey, man. Like the number zero, the Red Ranger holding the helmet, but the gold with wearing the gold shield. You ever seen that one?
Yeah.
That thing is almost like $1,000, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
So Ryan, you're writing it, but other people are benefiting from it. So you better get your cut, bro. You better let them know.
Story of my life.
It's the story of all of our lives, man.
So, totally.
I actually have the cover right now. Number 50 is up on Twitch. Like I said, we can't see it, but it's up there. Tell us a little bit about this backstory. Obviously, I don't want to ruin the end for anybody who hasn't read it, and for anybody who's going to listen to the podcast later on. I want them to pick up an issue and actually get to feel what I felt when I opened up that last page, and I'm like, oh, tell us a little bit about, the Mighty Morphin series, and obviously the other one ended. Are we looking now at having the Stone Canyon group be a ongoing part of this new one and just leaving the Omega Rangers behind? Like, how is this all going to come together now? Or you're not allowed to speak about this. I mean, am I shooting too far here?
No. I will say this. Yes, the Stone Canyon Trio are permanent. This is the new team. It's Tommy leading in the other five. So like that's the way we're going to stay in Mighty Morphin as a series going 51 going forward is going to be that story. It's going to be about them on Earth. That does not mean you will not see the Omega Rangers occasionally. That does not mean that, but I still have story plans for them. So we'll see more about that in the future.
Just tell us everything, man. Come on.
When that happens,
I can't wait anymore.
Send us the blueprints. We know you have them somewhere.
But we have a lot of big stuff planned, and I'm doing this for the foreseeable future. I'm not leaving anytime soon. So, as far as I know, that could change, but depending on how the writing goes. But yeah, I mean, that's the way that was to me. One of the things that was really hard about Necessary Evil, just the whole run, was just like, for me, it was about trying to tie everything together from all the previous runs, the Beyond the Grid run, the Shattered Grid run, the Kyle's run, my Go-Go Power Ranger run, like tying all that stuff together into one climax, which is what 50 is supposed to be. And the goal was to try and do that. And then in a way, cause I think we spent it's hard to explain, but one of the things that's been really cool about doing the Power Ranger books is like it's its own superhero universe now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you have the Omega Rangers and you have the Power Rangers and the Aquatar Rangers are still out there. And then we have, Zed and Rita and a whole bunch of, one of the things I've been trying to do, because I think it's what the comics do best, is I've been trying to build a rogues gallery. I want to build more villains that can just be out there. Like I created Alpha One, who is an early version of Alpha Five, who is evil.
Yes.
And like, And so that's out there, and Dane, who's
Dane's badass.
Yeah, thank you. My Doggy Kruger, red Doggy Kruger. Creating that world, because we created this universe and we have we have this opportunity to sort of build on that. And so I don't want to just keep writing the books to tie into the show. Not that they aren't canon, because I treat the shows as canon, because I feel like there's a reason people love those shows. And
of course,
exactly. So I want to keep that stuff, but I feel like we've spent so much time building this, like let's play with it a little bit. Let's use all those parts and make it a universe in a way that I love the idea of bringing in stuff from later, like seasons like Zeo, like late Lightspeed Rescue, like use those.
That's what I was going to ask too. Yeah. Do you think maybe some of those villains from those ones or the Rangers from those ones
might
pay some visits?
I want to treat it like I've been thinking about this. I want to treat the Power Ranger comics a little bit like the way the Mandalorian works, which is like, the cool thing about Mandalorian is it's a window into the Star Wars universe, and you can go anywhere in the Star Wars universe, but it's just through the lens of the Mandalorian.
Right.
And I want to do the same thing here, where it's like we can see stuff from Time Force or from Lightspeed or from Zeo and bring in characters from those worlds, but where they are at that point in the Mighty Morphin timeline. And so let's use that. And then because we have, it's like, I just think there's an opportunity to sort of really dig into and make it feel like one connected universe. That's the goal for me.
That's great.
Cool. To anybody, by the way. So that's
we appreciate that, man.
Fantastic dual show right here, baby. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, it makes for all like interesting, like just like letting your my imagination right now is just going wild with all the different stuff that could be happening. I've said so many times at panels, I'm like, there needs to be a civil war. You know what I mean? Like that needs to happen. You know what I mean? Like that would be something that would be totally cool. And again, I don't know anything. I don't have any background knowledge about that, but I'm saying something like that would be cool. Of course, bringing the other guys in from different, you know, series to come and visit and sort of help out, you know, like they do sometimes with the reunion episodes, like we did with the Ninja Steel, like this last year. That could be fun. So just, you know, stuff like that, you know, I mean, and the good thing is it's, you know, it's what's in your mind. So it goes on paper and then the artist creates it. And there's, you know, it's not a matter of like having to have all these cameras and lighting and big production values behind it and stuff in that sense. So, you know, it's more plausible, you know, to
be. Well, I don't have 15 pages being handed to me from another comic book in Japan, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. So you do have to create it from scratch. This is true.
Here you go. Here's 10, yeah. Ryan, write the other 10 and make it all work together. That's the equivalent of how.
Yeah. So, you know, as I think back, you know, I mean, I do have to give our writer some credit for sure, in the sense that once he wrote the show, because, you know, essentially they're just like getting handed a bunch of like footage. Okay, here's this particular week's episode and, or, you know, this day's episode, because it was shown like every day at that point. And, you know, all they've got is this footage. It's like, how can you tell a story from the footage without the other people that are in it and the conflict and stuff? So it's like, because none of it is like the same as the Sentai at all, you know, like if you watch old Sentai shows, it's so different, you know. So I mean, even though you're watching the same action, the storyline that led up to that is like not the same at all. No. So I always found that interesting, you know. So you had to be creative, and you know, so I think it's sometimes that can be harder too when you're kind of confined to, you know, a certain set of guidelines or a certain piece of footage, and you have to create a story around that. That can be harder.
Insane, and almost, especially from a completely different culture. Like, it's just like, that doesn't make, you know, the references aren't the same. And it's just like, it's, I don't know how they did it, but it was genius, and I wish I had thought of it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, I mean, I think about all that stuff too. It's so weird, like, you know, because Chaim Saban, you know, it was his idea, his baby. I mean, he tried for like 8 years to get the show made. You know what I mean? Like every network laughed him out of their offices, you know? Wow. And finally Fox Kids was just getting started. And they were, you know, they were looking for content, and they were like, whatever, we'll take 13 episodes and see what happened. And this thing just like took off and nobody could believe it, you know? So, so he had an idea and he knew it was right, but I don't even think he knew.
No.
You know, how big it was going to be. You know?
I mean, he says he does, but there's no way he knew that it was like 25 years from now.
There's no way.
Toys That Made Us?
Yes.
Okay, so you know the whole how they go deep into it. Just what Steve said, how hard it was for them to sell it, and Fox Kids kind of went, all right, let's take a chance with this thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Now, the man who's joining me here as my co-host is part of pop culture for history. I mean, like, we'll be gone in 100 years from now. That footage will still be around of him in his red vest. really yes. Quickly, Ryan, did you come up with the Ranger Slayer?
I did.
That's so cool.
It's pretty fun. That's my first action figure. I was pretty excited about that. I actually bought one. That's up there. But yeah, like we were trying to come up with, we needed a bad guy for my version of Shattered Grid. And we were like, well, Kimberly from the coin, this hasn't been used. And so we're like, we'll make an evil version of Kimberly. And so it's incredible how much people seem to like that character. It was really fun to write too, because like I was like, well, let's make her snarky. Like, I'm not going to make her. She's not going to be, you know, like that's. It was just fun to play with. And Dan Moore did an incredible job with the design. And so the fact that it's gotten it's in the video game now, and
yes,
it's got action figures. It's like.
It's so cool. Yeah, that's amazing. So just for the benefit of people that may not know, maybe you can kind of just go into that Shattered Grid a little bit and tell us a little bit, like, how did Lord Drakkon come into it, and who was the one that created it? Because I thought I had seen a model of the Drakkon. There's a guy who was part of the licensing department at Saban named Jason Bischoff, and I thought I had seen a creation of his in his office, and I thought it looked just like Lord Drakkon. And I don't know, though, is that something that you guys created, or somebody else that had created and then you worked around it, or
I from what I know, I mean, it was, I didn't come on until later, so
right, okay, no, sorry, no, yeah, I get a little confused, but
trust me, this is what it's like when I read it. Kyle, so Kyle started the book. He was the original writer on Mighty Morphin number one. And in that arc, he started laying in the seeds for wanting to do sort of an alternate reality, which is basically a world where the Green Ranger didn't go good, but stayed evil.
Right.
And basically killed Rita and sort of took over and became like the alt evil version of Tommy. Right. And that guy became Lord Draken. And so Kyle created that character and he became extremely popular. Yes. Yeah, I know. When I realized it when I went to Power Morphin Con and I saw the poster, and I'd never been to a convention where the comic book character that had just been created was on the center of the poster.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's like if Star Wars went to a Star Wars convention and Ahsoka was on, you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, right. there's no yeah. way that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he created that character. And the idea was, I know when he created it, he was like, Kyle had from the very early days been wanting to, I think it was like early fifth or sixth issue when they'd written it, if it was going to go along, they're like, let's do an event where we bring in all the other Rangers from all the other seasons and do like a massive event, like, yeah. you know, like the old days, like when, you know, like Infinity Crisis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, so that was his idea. And so basically the story was that, that Draken basically finds a way to, steal all the other basically finds a way to move between different dimensions and time, and is starting to basically go through all the different Ranger teams and basically take them out, take their morphers, and use that to directly access the morphing grid.
Right.
And so in order to do that, and the way he does the first name is actually by killing the original Tommy. Sorry, spoiler origin. Kill the original Tommy, which was really fun because I was actually in, we were at WonderCon and we released that issue and we gave it to everybody in the audience. And then I got to sit on stage and watch as they all read it.
Oh.
And you could hear people to the page where he kills him, that it was once I looked up me crying and I was like, I had nothing to do with this.
Wow.
That was
That's
really cool.
crazy.
But yeah, so basically he goes through and takes them all out, and sort of the Rangers all have to kind of, you know, come rally together from different time periods. I think Jen from Time Force is one of the characters. And it's like, so all of them kind of get this weird sort of mishmash of characters coming together. And there's an incredible image, if you guys haven't seen it. It's of all the Rangers coming together. I think it's in Mighty Morphin 38. It's a double page spread of all the original Rangers looking
yes.
up, and there's all these lights of the teleporting, and it's beautiful. Yeah. Daniele did an incredible job with that. I think it's one of my favorite images of any comic book ever. I love it. But anyways, basically they all have to kind of get together to fight Lord Draken. And so that was sort of the big event, but it basically ends up with sort of resetting reality and trying to find, but what was really cool about that was because we were able to bring them all in, now they're all out there. We can use them now. They're all, once they're introduced in the comic book, that we can use them.
Always more. Bring them back. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm a huge fan, bro.
He's been very excited about having you come on the show, man.
Back in 2016, yeah. you know, I was going away on vacation, and I remember walking into the shop, and I was like, wait a second, what's this? And I thought it was just going to be some kiddie, you know, BS. I was like, I don't know if I should pick this up. And then I just opened it up and looked at the first couple pages and I was like, yep, I'm buying this. and have just kept up with it. Somebody asked in the chat about a prequel to Power Rangers. Isn't that sort of what Go-Go Power Rangers was? It's their teenage years leading up to the finale that you wrote?
Yeah, they pitched it to me as Daphne basically was like, I want to do a Power Ranger book that takes place right after the pilot that is 70% teenage life, 30% fighting monsters. And I wanted to be about what's it like to actually be, she kept referencing sort of Buffy and the Ultimate Spider-Man, which
yes.
was more like, what's it like to be a teenager and actually try and be a superhero? Like what are the stuff that they were never able to, they didn't have time to get in the show. Stuff they probably, they could have come up with, they just didn't have time or weren't thinking that was what kids wanted. And so I was like, I've always wanted to do something that was in that vein. I love writing like sort of the Riverdale style writing. I love that teenage angst kind of fun. I think there's a lot of, I think it's such an incredible moment to write. What I love about it is that when you're 17, you know, 16, 17, 18, and it's right, those last few years of high school are like the moment right before, it's the moment that you actually have real, for a lot of people, it's the first time they get real responsibility. Like it's the first time your decisions actually matter, your grades actually matter, you know, where you're going to go to college, where you're going to spend the rest of your life. So you have actual responsibilities. And so I love using that metaphor for superheroes. It's this idea of like, right. oh, wow, I'm a high schooler and now I actually... there's a line, there's a moment with Billy in like the third issue where he misses a test because he was working on the communicators, and he runs in and he's like, I'm so sorry I slept through. And she's like, honey, she's like, it's your only job in the world is to get good grades, saving the world to other people. And I just thought like, that's the irony of these kids is that they have this responsibility. And so I really liked that. And so that was the whole center of the book, was to sort of, you know, slow the books down a little bit and make each four issues or so was basically one episode, but most of it was just like getting a date to the dance.
Go ahead, continue.
No, it's like we got to get into the this is actually something that SD brought up in one of the things that we recently don't know if we can talk about. Anyway, sorry.
Let's just put it this way. We've done panels in the past and we talk about a lot of the same things. So you can say this. Yeah.
Thank you for saving my butt. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But Steve brought something that I was really excited about, was like, I got to dig into the kids and their family life. I got to get into dealing with Jason and his dad, and I gave his dad multiple sclerosis.
Yes.
So that it was this idea of like, how do you deal with the responsibilities of at home at this? It's like that thing. Like I've had friends, I'm sure you guys have too, where it's like, I have this one friend who is the most amazing girl. She's that person that makes food for everybody when they show up. She's like the sweetest person in the world. And then I found out what had happened to her in her life. And she has all this horrible tragedy, just like the worst stuff ever, but you would never know it. And I just thought, what if that, there's like people in high school who are the same way. And so I dealt with that with Jason. And what you brought up, Steve, when you brought up about that, the stuff that they give you, the backstory for Rocky, I'm using that 100%. That is the book, because it reshaped the character in my eyes like that.
Oh, good.
Daphne and I got on the phone 30 seconds after I heard that. And I was like, we're doing that. This is what we're going to do with it. That's I love it, because it just changed. It made me I wish they got into the show, because I think it would have completely recontextualized your character.
I feel like it would have too. And for those of us that, you know, maybe have not seen some of the other panels that Ryan and I've been on, what I was kind of talking about was I was saying that, you know, like Rocky has, you know, a story, you know what I mean? Like Rocky is like, you know, a lives in a single family, like a single parent home, but he's got a lot of brothers and sisters that he's got to look after. And he also has a job teaching martial arts and the youth center. Like, you know, he has like a lot of other things that pull him in a lot of different directions that they never touched on in the story. And I always felt like I wish that they would have. And that's why, you know, I find it, you know, what you guys can do so creative, like, please run with it, you know,
so cool. Yeah.
By all means.
And not to tip what I'm going with it, but this idea of like, wouldn't it be really interesting to find like Rocky's the lighthearted, you know, very funny, you know, there's never a care in the world. And you go home and you find out he's got a single mom.
Yeah.
Five brothers and sisters, and the reason that he doesn't worry about being the leader of the Power Rangers because he's the leader at home.
Man.
And this, I just think that that's such an interesting, like, you never would have thought of that. And I really love that depth that you can create there, because we all have, that's all our lives, and we all have secret lives that we never let our friends know about. And I just think that's the stuff that I want to do with Power Rangers. I think that's the treating them like real people and real characters, and giving everybody's the hero of their own story. And I want to make sure that, especially going forward with Mighty Morphin, I want to take the time now that Rocky, Aisha, and Adam are on the team. I want to dig into them the same way that I dug into.
That's great, man. Yeah, no, and we appreciate that too, you know, because it's like, you know, in some way, like I say, the fans always want to try to find ways to connect with us, whether it's our character or us, you know. And so to give these layers is going to be really cool, I think. And I was thinking about this too, like going back to when that fan asked the question, the guy asked the question, it was like, you know, prequel stuff. What about like further back? I know like it's, you know, you guys want to keep moving forward, but would you ever tell the story of like how, you know, like they kind of touched on in the 2017 movie of Zordon 10,000 years ago,
and Rita.
You know, and he was the ranger battling and all that kind of stuff. Maybe you guys have told some of that story and I'm just not, don't know it or
we've hinted at it. Yeah.
Okay.
In Go-Go, we deal with a little bit of how Rita, what happened to Rita's, who's Rita's mother,
mm-hmm.
and how she's connected to Zordon, and basically how that whole relationship happened. But I will say, like, before Saban was very protective of that time period of the of wow. everything that had happened, how Zordon found the coins, how Zordon and Rita battle that whole the Altarian war or whatever you want to call it, whatever that
right the, war. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they were very protective of that, and so that was a very complicated stuff. It was a complicated place to tell stories in. You had to find sort of these very small windows. And Hasbro has been a little bit more open to the idea of dealing with mythology and really digging into some stuff. So I would say those conversations are always ongoing.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know. I mean, and I'm only throwing all that out there just for, you know, get people's minds thinking, you know what I mean? Like everyone that's listening or watching right now, I want them to be able to get excited and go out and see what else is going to come out with you guys. You know what I mean? Like, so
oh, definitely. I have some of the same questions you guys have. So trust me, those things are spinning. Yeah.
That's wow, awesome.
Fantastic, that's
awesome.
Man.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's go ahead.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, I'm in awe here. Like just listening to him talking about all this stuff, you know, I'm a child. We all know this. So yeah. So really quickly, I just want to give a big shout out to everyone who's on the chat. I want to give a big shout out to Kaji on the chat who just gifted a bunch of subs to everyone here on the chat room and everyone else who continues to subscribe to us here on Twitch.
Wow.
We want to thank you for continuing to do that. This is amazing. Like this show is growing extremely fast. Let's just put it like that. So Ryan, I got four questions that came in via video.
Hey, what's up, Fantastic Duo Show? My name is Brian. Hi, Steve. Hi, Alex. And my questions for our guest tonight, the writer of the comics. I guess my question would be, what storyline would you, from the comics, Power Ranger comics, would you love to see come to life, and which actors would you like to see come back to portray it from the franchise? Thanks for having me on, and can't wait to hear the answer. Thank you.
Oh man, that's a tough question. Boy. I mean, I'm very proud of the first 20 issues of GoGro. Not that I'm not proud of all of them, but like the first 20 or so are a very specific story. And it was a lot of my own personal, like the without giving anything away with it, is sort of like the way that it worked for me was about forgotten friends, right? The idea was that in the book I wrote, there was actually six friends. That there was Jason, Trini, Billy. I'm sorry, I just finished writing Turtles too.
Trying to
character names in my head, and I'm writing them in three different time periods, so sometimes I lost listen. But yeah, the original five, there was a character named Matt. And Matt was not chosen to be a Power Ranger, and they could not tell him about it. He was dating Kimberly at the time. And so what I really
right,
liked,
yes.
So it turns into this whole thing about how do they have to keep that from him, and he doesn't understand why they whisper whenever he walks around a corner and all these things. And so it came from this idea when I was in high school, the year that I went, they split our district into two different high schools. So all of my friends half our friends went to one and half went to the other. And it was really hard because we'd still hang out, but we just didn't have that common, you know, eventually we just sort of drifted away.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to write a comic book series about that. I wanted it to be like, what's that moment when you imagine if you had five friends, you were drifting away and they couldn't tell you why. And so that was what the whole story was. So I really liked sort of dealing with that sort of emotion of that and sort of the frustrations. And so I think there's a really cool, maybe, I'm just saying, maybe animated series that could be about that, which would be really cool. I mean, that's just my own personal opinion.
I mean, Boom did just sign a deal with Netflix. That's public knowledge, so you know.
Wow, that's cool, man. Yeah, well, I mean, that's just what I love about all the possibilities are endless. Just like with Star Wars now, they're splintering into everything and telling the stories that people always thought about, some of it's canon, some of it doesn't have to be, you know what I mean? Which is cool too. You know, I mean, you can like just be as creative as you want to be, which I think it's cool. Anyway, sorry. So let's go to the next question.
Let's go to the next question here. The next question comes from George. He's a high school student from Australia. He's in school right now, but we're going to play his question anyway, and he's going to watch this later. Here we go. Give me a couple seconds here.
Alex, Brett. Going pretty good. My name's George. Currently grade 10, 15 from Queensland, Australia. Loving the show so far. It's really good to see what you guys are doing. Got a question for Ryan. Who's your favorite character in the whole GoGo Power Rangers and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book series? And who's the best one to write about? Thanks, guys. Love what you're doing. See ya.
This feels like a trap.
Well, they're all fictional characters, so I don't think anybody's feelings are going to get hurt, man. So you go for it. Just which one you like is good, you know?
I will just pick random ones that, and for the, because it's changing. Whenever I write characters, it changes depend on where I'm at, you know, like where you are in the series. It's like, it's almost like I find the characters I love are the ones that help me solve problems in the script. You know, you're writing it and you're just like, God, I just wish someone could just say where the thing is. I'm like, oh, that character can. I love that shit.
Nice.
The two characters that I've sort of really enjoyed writing the most, I really liked Rita. I ended up writing Rita because I think one of the fun things about that for me was always like, it actually came from talking to my wife. I was trying to break a story in the car. We were driving someplace and I was asking her some help, and she said, and I was telling her about how the minions always mess up. She's like, why does she keep them around if they always screw up all the time? And I was like, that's a really good question. And so I had to sort of build a reason as to why that was. And so I came to the idea that Maisie, basically she values loyalty over sort of ability. She's surrounded by so many people she's a villain. So the villains stab each other in the back all the time, but these ones don't. These ones are loyal to her. So right. They may be morons, but they're her morons.
Right. Yeah. So yeah.
That's one of those things. That's one of the fun things about trying to write the based off the show. It's like, there's no reason. They don't even give you a reason why. So you have to sort of figure it out. And so it ends up creating we ended up doing a series of flashbacks in GoGo that were basically showing you how she found all of them. And like, she finds Squat because Squat's brought to her in a basket by this, she conquers a planet. And her parents try to trade the baby for their lives. And Rita's like, nah. And she gets rid of them, but she keeps the baby.
Right.
And so that's why she's like, you're a Squat little thing. And that's why he becomes Squat. And I just thought, like, those are the fun things that you can do in the comics that the show wouldn't get
to. The show would never even touch on it. It's so cool.
Oh my God.
I love it, man. I got to tell you, I'm just like super entertained by all this, man. I'm loving hearing all this stuff. Yeah.
The creativity's crazy. All right, we got two more. And here we go. This next one is from Mr. Tom Turner. Let's play this out.
Hey, my name's Tom, and I've got a question for Ryan. I'm just curious what we can expect from the upcoming Ranger Slayer comics, the one that comes out on Free Comic Book Day, and then the one that comes out a little bit after that. Thanks.
Yeah, so the Free Comic Book Day is basically sort of, it takes all the flashbacks from Shattered Grid that basically show you the origin of how she became the Ranger Slayer, right? And then there's another 10-page story that's from the hardcover that sort of tells you her first mission as the Ranger Slayer. So that's what the Free Comic Book Day is. It basically is anything you wanted to know about who Ranger Slayer was, you can just pick up that Free Comic Book Day and it'll tell you everything. I think that's all out there. I don't think I spoiled anything.
Right, right.
I'm sure Boom will call me tomorrow if I did.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That would be awesome. Which they have done, by the way. It's like, hey, don't say that again.
Right, right, right.
What was really fun was Dan Mora and I, Dan wrote, drew, Dan Mora is one of the most amazing artists in the world. He did the first 12 issues of Power Rangers, or GoGo Power Rangers with me, and created Ranger Slayer with me. And so he went off to do some other stuff like Buffy and Once in Future. And so we had kept talking. We were actually at a con together, and I was like, dude, we should do something together again. And he's like, well, let's talk to Boom. And so we kept talking, and basically it came to the fact that we're like, maybe we can do, let's do a Ranger Slayer book. We created the character, let's go back and do that.
Nice.
And so we found that we could possibly, I was like, what's going on in that world since she left? What's going back in our home world since Draken left and tried to conquer everything? How does it evolve differently? And so basically I was like, I'm gonna write a movie. I'm gonna write my coinless movie, and I'm gonna do everything I ever wanted to do in it, and Dan's gonna draw it. And so that's what we did. It's one shot.
So awesome.
Nice. That's very cool.
We do a lot of really nuts stuff in it, so.
Nice.
Hey, Fantastic Duo Show. I've got a question for Ryan. Is there a Power Rangers character that you haven't used yet that you want to use? And who, if you're allowed to say? Cheers.
There's a lot of characters that I want to use, but I can't talk about all of them because I'll get in trouble. But yeah, there's definitely stuff that I want to pull from a lot of the different seasons. There's some original stuff that we've talked about. There's some inversions on things I think is really fun. I don't know if it's out there, but this might be a spoiler, but I hope it's not. With issue 51, we're going to see the return of the Dark Rangers. Because I always felt like that was a little bit of an underused episode. And so we're going to see a new version, sort of a different take on them, which is a lot of fun. So like, there's stuff like that I want to do. There's a lot of little things.
Nice.
Like that.
Yeah. Very cool, man. Well, you know, you've certainly given us like a lot to think about and a lot to look forward to. And Ryan, I can't thank you enough, man, for coming on our show. You know, I know we're smaller and we're just getting started, and I know you're on this whirlwind right now, like with all these interviews that you're doing all the time. And, you know, so I appreciate you taking a little time out and hanging out with us and kind of getting our fans up to date on stuff. We really appreciate it. So can tell us where everybody can follow you. So that way, if you have anybody that wants to follow you, or if you, if people want to follow you or anything, is that, I don't know. Sorry. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I got it. Yeah. No, thanks for having me on here, guys. Really, honestly, this is easy. These are fun. This is not work. This is getting to talk to you, especially you guys. This is easy. This is fun. But yeah, just, you can find me on Twitter at that Ryan Parrott, two R's and two T's. You know, whenever I say it out loud, it doesn't sound as pretentious, but it is a little pretentious. I'm going to fix it. You just preach me a Twitter.
No, and you want to make sure people get it right. So, you know, I mean, that's important, you know. There's nothing wrong with that at all, you know. So Twitter, your best one? Okay, cool. Awesome. Good. So, yeah, guys, you heard it out there. You guys follow him. Whenever new cool shit comes out, you know he's going to post about it. So make sure you guys stay on top of that. And, Alex, anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
Yeah, that's it. I want to thank everybody who continues to watch. And if you're listening, make sure you continue to come on over to the Twitch channel and become a sub. Hang out with us. We got so much to give away and so much to do.
Right. And so thank you again, Ryan. And next week we're going to try to do we've been getting some requests to get some of the girls on here. So we're going to work on that this week. So be on the lookout for that. In the next couple of days, we'll post out what we'll have for Women's Week.
Women's Week.
Anyway, we want to thank you guys all for watching, and have a great weekend, and may the power protect you and stay safe out there.
Thank you guys. Thanks, Ryan.